Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everyone. Malcolm Rodriguez, Detroit Lions linebacker. You're listening to the El Huddle podcast.
Yes, that was Malcolm Rodriguez, also known as Rodrigo, a spectacular guest that we had. We've had great guests every week on the El Huddle podcast. Glad you are with us. Hola, ¿qué tal? Glad to be with my prima, mi hermana, mi prima hermana, MJ Acosta Ruiz, fresh from Panama. Sound like you had an awesome time.
Amazing. 10 out of 10. Beautiful beaches, a little adventure mixed in between. That's a whole other podcast episode, Will.
That's what we like to call a tease, friends. Teaser. Also a tease is we have a very, very funny comedian on, Steve Trevino. He actually was seen by MJ in person, and he's got a special on Amazon Prime. Huge fan of his. We're going to talk to him about the Cowboys growing up, his background, all of this and that. And right now we have our titulares.
Woo.
Breaking news.
Noticiero.
It's just in.
Este breve.
And the main, I guess, only one really that we've been talking about mainly is the whole Lamar Jackson thing. MJ still doesn't have a home. He's been very vocal on Twitter about his displeasure, along with reportedly asking the Ravens for a trade.
Yeah.
Of course, John Harbaugh is like, wait, what? What had happened? Well, this is what happened when he was asked by reporters about the tweet that was sent out while he was speaking to reporters at the annual league meeting.
John, Lamar just tweeted as of March 2nd, he requested a trade to the Ravens organization. Looks like there's a Twitter thread that just went up. Can you comment on that?
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football. I'm confident that's going to happen.
Do you anticipate him being your quarterback in week one?
I do. You know, you gotta plan for all the contingencies for sure. But I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player. Lamar came back in great shape last year. He's fired up to play. That's the Lamar that I'm looking forward to seeing. Can't wait to get back on the grass and go to work, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
So you're following him on Twitter and seeing all the posts and the social
media? No, I don't live in that world, Jerry. You know, I'm not a real Twitter guy. Have you seen my tweets lately? No.
I love that. He's like, Twitter? Yes. What are you talking about? I am not on the Twitter. I am not checking tweets.
He's on Snap Face.
He's on the Snap Face, on the Book of Face, yeah, on the gram, exactly. Of Insta. Yeah, that's how I feel. I wish, Coach, I wish we didn't have to tweet. It's a lot. It's a lot. And it was like a planned move by Lamar. I'm not going to say. Mm-hmm. You know I live for the pettiness, Will.
Yeah, do. You do. Yeah.
I'm on the petty train at all times. However, it's almost a little off-putting to me. Because I don't think that an elite quarterback, which is the group that I put Lamar in as a former league MVP, needs to be doing this, needs to be tweeting for his life. It's not a knock on him. I understand why he's doing it. He doesn't have a representative.
He's stuck his heels in.
It's very deeply personal. Right? This is your entire career, and he is the one who's steering the ship. He has made that decision, and it is his right to do so. But this is how you know that things have spiraled, because you don't need to be out here defending yourself, Lamar, because the whole conversation, I think everybody on the NFL planet is like, pay this man already. Get it done. We want to see him paid. We know he deserves it. We know that he's earned it. I don't want to hear anything about, oh, well, he missed the last five games. Whatever. When he's healthy, he is one of the best in this league. And of the 32 teams, not all 32 have an elite quarterback, unless that's just the real. But I think if you're at the point now where you have to go on Twitter to try and defend yourself, like I wish that he would just let that wall down just a little bit and get a team in place. Somebody who was approved by the NFLPA, a certified agent who can go in there and do the messy, dirty work for him. Right. Like there does come a point where you sort of have to be compartmentalized from all of that. You know, I don't want to see him have to get in there and roll in the muck. Right. Like you're too elite for that, Lamar. You're too elite. 100%
agree.
You know?
No, I agree. I think if he had an agent, the agent would have steered him in the direction of the offers that the Ravens had on the table. There'd be back and forth. It gets personal. And I think he would have benefited greatly. Paying 3% for an agent, whatever. It just seems to be whatever. That's what the going price is
for an agent.
We've seen. It is. It is. And we've seen Laremy Tunsil, Roquan Smith, other guys do it, but they're few and far between. And I think now he's feeling like, I'm going to set this up for guys behind me, the Justin Herberts, the Joe Burrows, the Jalen Hurts. But what's interesting is that the Bengals have said, we're interested in getting an extension done here in the near future. Justin Herbert has also said, or at least his representation has said, and the Chargers, from what we know from reports, that they are open to getting an extension done. So
Jalen Hurts too in the conversation now about getting
exactly. Exactly. So I think the representation is needed. And then what's the end game here? I mean, they have until July 17th to come up with a long-term contract, or at least a one-year contract. And after that, where do they go? And then is he going to then say, okay, I'm going to sign this non-exclusive franchise tag, which, by the way, is still below market what he would be earning. So what are we doing here? Yeah. And right now, teams, while they should be out there lining up to put forth offers, they haven't. I mean, I guess the Colts would be a great spot. You can even throw out the Lions because they got the draft capital, but they seem to be happy with Jared Goff. I don't know what the end game here is for him. I just feel like we're seeing this public split up, but they need each other. They need each other.
Right. It's just a bit of a broken home at this moment. I respect Lamar, not just for what he does on the field, but you got to respect somebody who's betting on themselves, who's going 10 toes down for their own well-being, for their own, you know, longevity, for their livelihood. I get that. I get it tremendously. And I think there was one tweet where he said, like, oh, well, they offered me this, but I still need an agent. It's not I think he's almost taking it, I would assume, by his tweets as
personally,
as us personally, thinking that
like
he's
that smart or something.
Right. And that's
yes,
not it.
Exactly.
That's not it at all.
Right.
That's not it at all. It's just that even if you go from the reverse side of this, from the team side, they don't want to have the conversations that they typically have and are necessary to have with an agent, a representative, with the guy that's going to be in their building every day. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. just. That's just how it is. Like, they want to keep that relationship to the basics. Like, let's amp up our guy. This is our dude, which is what we've heard from Coach Harbaugh. And I believe that Coach Harbaugh means that when he says it.
Yep.
Then you get behind closed doors. And when negotiations goes down, well, he's been hurt. Well, he's been this. You don't want to hear that stuff. I wouldn't want to hear it.
No, no. Personally. Me neither. And,
my agent.
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't imagine being in those discussions, and they've been trying to reach some sort of agreement
right.
for over 2 years now. This should have been done 2 years ago.
It's been
so
too
in
long.
A way it kind of
yeah.
reflects poorly because yeah. in that time we've seen Mahomes get a mega deal and Josh Allen get a mega deal. So
yep.
We'll see how that plays out. Either way, excited for our next guest. On the other side, we'll be hearing from comedian Steve Trevino.
Woo.
That's coming up on the El Huddle podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with
some
everyone you meet?
Try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Uh-huh.
All right, trying real hard not to fangirl, but we're going to do it anyway because
Let's
joining us
it.
Right now is the legend, El Comediante, Steve Trevino, now turned NFL analyst
baby.
For the purposes of the El Huddle podcast.
I'm like, all of this is so crazy to me. You know, I'm a huge NFL fan. And the reason I was late to the podcast is because I got to take this off.
Okay.
And I gotta put that on. Let's
Here we go.
Go.
Here we go.
Let's go.
And, it begins.
Mm. I have to. I gotta support the big D. Well, why does it look crooked? It looks crooked.
Oh, I thought you were just trying to be swaggy. I like it. I like it.
I don't know. It works.
No,
you
works.
Said the
it
big
works.
D, like you're representing depression because it's the Cowboys. Like what's
wow.
what's the deal?
Wow.
Dude,
well,
it has been a rough 25 years. Let's just be honest. It has been a rough 25 years and it has hurt so bad to the like is there not, like I used to make fun of like the Raiders right back in the day. It was like, okay, y'all used to be good, relax, we're the Cowboys, and now I feel like the Raiders.
Yeah, the commitment to excellence, all that the Raiders would always talk about, just win, baby, none of that stuff. So you're so why do you think that the Cowboys haven't been able to get to those Super Bowls and win one?
You're going to make me be honest, aren't you?
I hate it because
I don't have a. I did not do well in Hollywood because I could not lie. You know, people would hand me a script and go, "Huh? What do you think?" And I'm like, "Oh, I really wish you wouldn't have asked me. I think it's terrible." You know, and in Hollywood, you have to be able to lie. So. You asked me why I think the Cowboys have not returned to their glory. And
yeah.
I hate it because Jerry Jones is an amazing owner, horrible GM. And I think that Jerry Jones needs to take his hands off. The tuna said it years ago. If you're going to let me cook, let me pick my groceries. And Jerry Jones also, in my opinion, there's a reason that so many NFL teams continue to be successful year after year, and that is because of culture. It doesn't matter if they have the studs. It doesn't matter if they have big, big stars. It is a winning culture. They play as a team. They win as a team. You know, the Steelers have been so successful for so many years without, quote, unquote, stars. They actually create stars. And Jerry Jones continues to try to win a Super Bowl now. So he gets all these individuals to create a team. And I just think that in the NFL, if you're not a cohesive team that feels like, hey, we're out here together, it just doesn't work. And in my opinion, Jerry Jones breeds this, we're the Cowboys, we're the best, you're the best. And he breeds individuality. And to me, You can't win football games as an individual, and you can't be arrogant, and you can't have this idea of. So, to answer your question, Jerry Jones.
That's a take, MJ. That's a take right there. Steve coming in hot.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's talk about the scheme a little bit, because in the offseason, there has been some changes. And I feel, I don't know if you agree with this, that over the past few seasons, they've been trying to replace that Amari Cooper production. So now we've got Brandon Cooks coming into the mix. Defensively, we've got Stephon Gilmore coming. Remember last year when all everybody wanted to see was physicality, run the ball, get after it out of the backfield. Now Zeke is gone, although Zeke wasn't quite the Zeke that we remember
producing,
there.
Producing, right.
Right. Yeah. So now this next step, I mean, potentially they could go for a running back in the draft and start building from there. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that Jerry Jones came along, he hired Jimmy Johnson, and he saw what Jimmy Johnson did to create Super Bowl winning teams. I think that here we are 25 years later, and if you look at what Jerry Jones continues to try to do, he tries to model exactly what Jerry Jones did or Jimmy Johnson did. He's trying to get the big, huge offensive line because that's what Jimmy Johnson did. He's trying to get the magical three. He's trying to get that Troy Aikman,
Nate Newton,
with the
Larry
yeah,
Allen.
He's look right. I think that he's trying to replicate what Jimmy Johnson did. Football has evolved. Football has gotten faster and quicker, and there's schemes on the field that are changing so fast, and the West Coast offense has come along, and, and there's so many things that, you know, he wants to replace Emmitt Smith with Ezekiel Elliott. He wants to replace Troy Aikman with a Dak Prescott, and I also think that Jerry Jones's ego doesn't let him let go. I think if Jerry Jones comes in and says Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback and he's the best in the league, I said it, and now I don't think Dak is that elite quarterback. And I think now he's doubled down so much that he's going to stick to it, right? And again, trying to make individual moves instead of team moves as a whole. You look at the Green Bay Packers. They continue to compete every single year. There's no stars. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he might be a little out of his mind. But
a little?
But a little, yeah. But then you got guys like Tom Brady that go to Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden, you know, he brings the pieces of the puzzle that he needs. And the writing's on the wall. Tampa, I mean, to me, Tom Brady set the standard for elite quarterbacks when he opened up that salary cap and said, I don't have to be the highest player paid player on the team because I want to spend that money on that defense, which, by the way, that defense is the reason they were able to beat Kansas City. Because now they're not done. They're put. They got a front four that can put pressure on a kid like Mahomes, and they didn't have to spy him. They didn't have to double team him. And Tom Brady was smart enough to be able to say, "I don't need to be the highest player on the team. Let's spend some money on some defense, and let's go get Gronk."
I love that.
Well, what do you think of Dak? I mean, Dak gets a lot of heat too for not producing the results that everybody's expecting. Are you a Dak fan? Do you think that they should look in other directions instead? Like, what's your take on Dak?
Again, being honest, I love Dak as a human being. He seems to be a very, very classy young man, which I always look for in players. You know, I want to look for those guys that are classy, those guys that are giving back to the community, those guys that are good. My 7-year-old. Oh my God, he loves these football players, right? So I want my 7-year-old to fall in love with somebody like a Dak, who is community driven, classy. The guy seems like an amazing human being. I just don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think that he doesn't pump fake. He doesn't he telegraphs his passes, and I don't think that he can make those changes up front that other quarterbacks can. I mean, the Manning brothers couldn't run a damn 40-yard dash to save their lives, but they knew football like nobody else's business. Tony Romo, undersized, small guy, but God, he knew football, right? Tom Brady, 45 years old, still able to compete on that level because he knew football, and the guy probably ran a 5.240.
Nobody cares about his 40. The 40 is irrelevant.
Nobody cares.
At all.
Let's produce.
One thing about Cowboys fans, we know they're going to shoot it to you straight, and they're going to know the sports acumen is just off the charts there. Plus, I think the fandom too, like there's just something about, like, I've only been to Dallas a couple of times, but like you can't go 2 blocks without running into a Cowboys fan. Like it's part of the tapestry, part of the DNA of the fan base there. But there are other fan bases that would argue with that. Steve, is there another fan base that you think can rival the Cowboys?
I will tell you, and my Cowboys fans are going to hate me for this. In my opinion, the best fans are Steelers fans in the NFL.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I was not expecting Steelers fans. Okay.
If you go to Pittsburgh on a Friday before a game, and I have been in Pittsburgh on a Friday before a game, there is not one human in that town that is not wearing Steelers gear.
Right.
I mean, old ladies have Steelers earrings and little babies are wearing little Steelers
pacifiers.
I mean, it is. And then if you go on the road like I do and you go anywhere on a Sunday, you are going to see a Steelers fan dressed to the nines. I mean, I'll wear a hat. I mean, I'm talking about they have earrings.
You're more subtle.
I'm more subtle about it.
Yeah,
understated.
These Steelers fans are rabid and they're crazy and they are committed. You know, I don't think they're as big as the Cowboys Nation, of course, but you know, like my aunt, for example, You know, she would, every time we were watching football, she'd walk by and go, "Who's winning, mijo, the Cowboys?" Like, she had no clue. You know, "Mijo, who's winning, the Cowboys? That's good." I'm like, "It's Saturday. We're watching college." But
thanks,
thank you, Tia.
Yeah. Right? Thanks, Tia. I love it.
But you meet a Steelers grandma, and she knows the game.
Right, right. Yeah. Facts.
Well, let's talk about your upbringing here, because MJ and I always talk about it on our podcast. I mean, I've talked about it. It's like I shared a room with my grandmother growing up, you know, when I was 6 years old. And so for you, when you're talking about your aunt, like, how was it like growing up, you know, and having your aunt and having your parents and having, you know, mijo, esto, mijo, oh, no, mijo, like... Talk to us about your upbringing a little bit.
Well, you know, huge family. My mom is one of nine, right? So, and they all migrated from Mexico.
Yeah.
I always tell this story. My uncle, who is my mom's oldest brother, he married a woman who was Mexican-American, and she actually taught our family Thanksgiving.
Right.
Our family did not know what Thanksgiving even was.
Mm. So, really?
Right. Think about that for a second. They didn't celebrate Thanksgiving in Mexico. So when they came here, my oldest uncle's wife was like, "You guys don't do Thanksgiving?"
That's like every week, though, like, in a Latino household. Every week. Yeah.
Well, but you know, after church, it was go to abuela's house.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And now it's Sunday, and all the uncles would sit around watching the Cowboy game, rooting them on, and it was family time, it was barbecue time, it was, hey, we're gonna root for our Cowboys, and my uncle's making plywood Dallas Cowboy stars and selling them to us.
Amazing.
mira, está bonita. And of course my mom, Lalo, yes, Lalo, we want one of those for our house, you know. But where that diehard Cowboys fan came, what people don't realize is I'm a first generation football fan.
Right.
My parents became NFL fans because of the United States, and Sundays became
same with my parents.
Same.
It was a special day for us on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it was family. It was rooting for your team. It was going to church and going to abuela's house, and you know, and back then, you know, you didn't have access to every single game.
No.
Right? It was like the Cowboys game is going to be at 1, or here noon, or 3.
Yeah.
That's it.
And if it was noon, then we had to go to church and the men didn't.
Wow. They got to stay.
I'm at church. Everybody else. I'm like, how come dad's not here? Like, oh, they're watching the game, Nicole. They're watching the Cowboys, right? And being a Texan, you know, I get so frustrated because Texas should have another NFL team, but we can't because the fans are not jumping ship. A franchise is not coming to San Antonio, Texas, because they know that you're not going to get a fan base. Everybody loves the Cowboys, and then Houston, Texas loves the Texans, and that's it.
Yeah. That is large enough, I think, to house 3. Yeah, no question about that. Okay,
so 1,000.
We think about that, like, upbringing, right? Like, that very traditional space. And Will and I have talked about this before. Like, my parents, also immigrants to the country from Dominican Republic. And their American dream for me was get yourself a good, safe job that's going to put food on the table. And I was like, I want to be a dancer. I want to work on TV. And they were like, ay, Dios mío. Okay, great.
I know, there's no career.
Right. But so how did your parents feel when you're like, comedy? That's what I'm going to do.
My dad made it very clear to me. I said, I'm going to be a comedian. He goes, then you're on your own. Mm. He goes, don't ask me for money. He goes, don't ask me for money, and I will ask you for money. He goes, if that's what you want to do, then knock yourself out. He goes, if you want to go to college, I will help you get through college. No college.
Right. Yeah.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
So I took it like, all right, man, well, I'm going to go do this and see you later kind of a thing. And you know, now years later, he's like, I'm the one that told him to go do comedy.
Yeah, sí, claro, hijo, claro.
I told hijo, hey, go, mijo, go yeah. Be a comedian and make us money. I want to be on the field at the Tampa Bay game, son.
So proud. I see your comedy store hoodie on there. And
oh yeah,
my husband and I went to one of your shows in San Diego back in 2018. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Steve, do you remember seeing them there?
I mean, there's no way, but we did take a photo with you. We were very excited, very geeked out. Like, you know, your bits and all your comments. There we go. Oh my God.
I do remember.
So sure. You don't. Stop it, Steve. It's okay.
Yes,
it's
because okay. My wife was there and we actually commented about your hair.
Yes, it's Angela. She always comes. But I bought the Captain Evil shirt that day and everything. And Steve, like, when I tell you, like, I'm fangirling because, like, we quote your stuff all the time. Now we see it on social media, right? The TikTokers are stitching you and they're saying this stuff. My husband put a Steve Trevino line in his vows. Okay.
Oh, that's the kind of stuff.
You made the wedding, dude.
You made the wedding. We eloped, by the way, in the middle of the pandemic, so it was very dramatic. But he made sure to put that there because it's something that we quote constantly. He said, and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you together. And you know what? Together. If you haven't seen that bit, I highly recommend that you go and find it. It's about a Vegas trip. We're here together. Not alone.
But you know what? That is what is why I do comedy. I truly do comedy because I am a giver. I love to host. I love to make other people happy. You know, people say that all the time. They go, Steve, you know, you do so much when it's my birthday and you go out of your way. And I go, but that's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
Making other people happy is what makes me happy. So then when I don't celebrate my birthday, all my friends and family go, well, we want to do something for you. And I go, but that makes me uncomfortable. I like being the giver. I like being the one that makes a big deal about somebody else. So when I hear people say, you saved my marriage, you know, oh my God, we were on the verge of divorce and you got us through it. Or my wife got cancer and the only laughter we got was watching you. Those are the things that for me are very special. And that is exactly why I do comedy, is for you. So when you say things like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly why we do it. And that's why I shake everybody's hand after a show. Yeah. You know, because I'm number one, I can't believe that you came to see me. And number two, you are paying my bills because I get a portion of that ticket. So I look at anybody that buys a ticket as an employer. And what kind of employee would I be if I don't shake my employer's hand?
Wow.
So that's how I look at things. And it's important to me when you tell me things like that, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I wish my wife was here. She's out being my wife, but yeah. You know, I will tell her that because we are a team.
Yeah.
Me and her are a team. Me and her do things together. And being Latino in this business, you don't have a choice but to do things on your own and to figure things out.
On your own, yeah. Your wife also source material, right? Of course. So
a lot of source material. How did that come about where she's just letting you, anything that you guys go through where she's shopping? Because the thing that makes you so great and any comedian who's very successful is the relatability. And with all the bits that you have, they're so relatable. Because I think about that as it's like, you know, my wife is buying things and returning things all the time, right? Oh. Buying, returning.
At least she returns. I don't even return things anymore. I'm just like, well, it lives here now.
That's how I am. I tell my wife, if I come home with jeans that don't fit, I ain't going back.
I'm not going back to the store. Right.
I screwed up. But the reason it relates is because I call it a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make up. Like, I don't look at my wife and go, okay, how can I write funny things about her? That doesn't happen. I live it in the house and then I take it on stage. So there's this one joke right now that I'm so happy about. And Renee and I are in this argument. And then we both bust out laughing. And I go, why are you laughing? She goes, I'm just laughing. She goes, why are you laughing? I go, I'm laughing because you're laughing. And then she goes, I just wrote a joke for you.
Right.
And I go,
she's like, you're welcome. God, you really?
Yeah. Right. And the joke is, I go, when my wife asks me to do something for her, there are no questions asked. I just do it. But when I ask her to do something for me, oh my God, there's questions.
Yeah.
So all I wanted was for her to buy two cars. Yeah. All I wanted was, we were going on a trip to a water park with some other couples. And the other couples were like, the other husbands, they go, let's get cabanas. That way we're comfortable. There's a lot of us. We'll get two.
Yeah.
I go, you got it. I went to my wife and said, hey, baby, can you book two cabanas? Why do we need two cabanas? Because I'm asking, can you please book two cabanas? Well, I don't want to pay for two cabanas. Well, baby, we're not going to pay for two cabanas. We're all going to split it. It's going to be split three ways. Can you get two cabanas? Are you sure that we need two cabanas? Yes, yes, I am sure. That's why I keep asking, can you get two cabanas? Well, one cabana seats 10 people. I mean, how many people are we going to have? We're going to have 14. We're going to have 14 people. That is more than 10. Can you please book two cabanas? Well, not all of us are going to be in a cabana. And I'm like, just and I lose my mind. But I literally told the story right now exactly the way it happened. And when people see it, they know it's real. And right. They've been through it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the relatability comes from.
No question.
And I mean, it has to happen. That's why it's so hard for me to write material. It's hard and it's easy because I don't have anything. I tell my wife all the time, I go, when you're nice to me for a long time, it's not good for business.
Fair enough.
I'm not making any money with you being nice to me.
Right. Stop it.
If I go to my wife and I go, can you buy two cabanas? And she goes, of course, baby. I respect you. I love you. And I agree with your decisions.
End of the career.
No career.
No career.
No career.
No hay casa, no hay comida, no hay nada, no hay electricidad.
But I also take great pride. My wife is Latina. I'm Latino.
Yeah.
I take great pride in showing America a Mexican-American couple that is very normal and very, you know, I love George Lopez and I always will. But George spends a lot of time explaining how we're different.
Right.
And my whole act is we're all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my wife wake up every day. We try to be the best husband and wife to each other. We try to be the best parents we can be to our kids. And we try to get through this crazy life we're living in 2023 with a smile. And, you know, we are like everybody else, just trying to make it with a little bit of flavor, you know, and. You know, my tia walking in the background going, oh, who's winning, mijo? The Cowboys? Are the Cowboys? You know, so it's relatable and it's real and it's honest. And that's what makes people gravitate to it.
Love it.
No, absolutely love it. You come from a big family. I came from a big family too. And MJ and I, we talk about certain ways that say like our moms were. Like, for example, if we were sick, it's all about vapurub. Like literally everything, like you threw vapurub at every problem, it seemed like. If I got the sniffles, it's lights out, baby. It's vapurub and you know, antibióticos, you know, like that was the way to do it. There was no such thing as going out and getting DayQuil or NyQuil.
My dad has these antibiotics from Dominican Republic. I don't know what's in them, but you were cured in 2 days.
Well, but I also like, I'm glad you said that because I also like to show the difference in generations.
Yeah.
You know, my wife is Mexican American. When she is sick, it is my job to take care of her. Right.
Yeah.
And when I'm sick, it's you're being dramatic. You're ridiculous. You can't be that sick. Oh my God, do you want your mommy? And I'm like, yes, yes, I do want my mommy. Mom would be here with Vicks, with a towel on my head, with alcohol in it. She would be doing the weather.
We have to acknowledge that when men get sick, it is a melodrama beyond compare. Because we're still, don't do that. Now all the producers are, thank you, sis. Because we're still up, we're cleaning the house, we're running around, we're still running errands, and the guys are like, oh, why?
It's true. We're out for like three days. We're done.
I love when I get sick, and then my wife is like, you're being dramatic. And then because we're husband and wife, I end up giving her what I had.
Of course. Right.
And then she's like, take me to the hospital. I'm like, oh. Now you know what I got.
If she's at hospital level, then you know it's bad.
But I will say this. I do believe, number one, I believe in God. And I will say that God always makes the mom get sick last.
Right. Well, yeah.
My wife will take care of the kids are sick, then I'm sick, and I don't know how she's doing it.
She finally
she's
goes
taking
down.
Care of all of us.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we're all good, she goes down. And now yeah. she's sick.
No, that's how it is.
And yeah. I'm like, that is God's motherly yeah. way Anointed. Of going. Yep. Every oh, single
well,
time.
Were there words, Steve, that you would hear from family members that you'd never heard before, ones that were made up? Maybe they were in Spanish. Like we had, you know, in our house, my parents were Nicaraguan, so they say, ah, qué gran bochinche.
Oh, no, we say bochinche.
Bledo, you know?
Yeah.
But those are things like, but no one says, if I go to Mexico and I say gran bochinche, they'll look at me if like, I have three heads.
Bochinche is gossip. Three heads
anyway.
In DR.
Yeah,
it's gossip.
I love more all the Spanish words that they turn English words into Spanish words.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, like, ay, te fuliaron. Like, they te fuliaron. What is te fuliaron? Mira, lo fuliaron. Like, you fooled me? Is that yeah. Spanish? You know, you go to Miami and all of a sudden, brother. Like, what is brother?
Yeah. It's yeah. not brother, by the way. It's brolin.
Yeah. Brother.
Yeah.
Or like all cereal is Cheerios to my grandma. Yep, it didn't matter if it was yep. Coco Puffs, Fruit Loops. Like, tú quieres Cheerio.
Sure. Oh, no, mine was Postosis. Yeah.
Postosis.
Yes. Postosis. Yeah. No.
¿Quieres Postosis? And I'm like, yeah, I want some Postosis.
Every
like,
day please. Was
How about Chocomil? Oh, did you guys ever yeah. have that? Chocomil? That was
Chocomil. Oh, yeah. Chocomil. Yeah. Chocolate milk. For
you put it in the milk? Yeah. Chocomil. Yeah. You know, it's like, there were certain things like that. Like, yeah. wait, what?
And then it's funny to me, too, because everything is backwards in Spanish, right? So
yeah.
my dad would call Burger King the King Burger.
Yeah.
I'm like, the what? And King Burger. Llévame el King Burger. I go, what the hell's the King Burger? Oh, Burger King.
Because if you translate it in Spanish, the syntax would flip it. Yeah.
The syntax always flips, right? Or he would say Cesar Pequeñas. I'm like,
Little Caesars.
I'm like, what?
Amazing.
And then my favorite one lately is he's trying to explain it. He goes, hey, mijo, I've been watching a show.
Oh, my God.
Un show in HBO. Tienen nanitos and dragons. I said, you mean Game of Thrones? He goes, yeah. Game of Thrones.
Thrones.
I go, Game of Thrones. Thrones. You know, Game of Thrones. Hey, I watch Game of Thrones. They have midgets. I'm like, Dad, hey, we can't.
It's too much.
Oh my God. You know, my father used to say, like, if he was busy, he'd always say, I'm in the middle of people, is what he would say. You know, with his accent, right? So, you know, there were certain things mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. they couldn't say the words, or there were phrases, right?
Yeah.
They just couldn't get there, you know, because they had to learn English when they got to this country.
Do you guys remember that Inglés sin Barreras commercial?
I don't remember that one.
¿Por qué se escribe because, pero se pronuncia because? I grew up in New York, so it was like, yes, it's exactly what it was. Learning English in Spanish, which is, if you think about it, brilliant. But like, it was this huge commercial, and it was nonstop in our house because all we watched was either Univision, Telemundo, like that's all we had on in the house.
But people don't realize why the Latino loves the NFL, and I will tell you why. It is because the Latinos that move to this country love this country mm-hmm. and they embrace it and they love yeah. the opportunities that they have here. And they look at the NFL as a very American thing and they want on board mm-hmm. and they want to be part yeah. of it. I mean, you know, my dad served in the Vietnam War. He loves this country.
Yeah.
You know, my dad is proud of this country. My dad watches the NFL and loves the NFL because it is very America. Right. And that's what I hate about sometimes our society, how they look at us and they say, well, you know, they must love soccer. Like, no, you are mistaken. Yes. We love the NFL because we love America and we love watching the NFL because it's very American. and we get to pick our team and we get to root for our team. And for whatever reason, Latinos definitely migrate towards certain teams.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The Dolphins, you know, you want to find Cubans, you're going to find them with their Dolphins fans, right? And you want to find the Mexicans, well, you're going to find them with the Raiders or the Cowboys, you know?
Right.
There's definitely a something about, I mean, even Mexico. It's a regional thing, and Mexico loves the Dallas Cowboys. You know, and it's just one of those things.
They love the Niners, as we found out this past season, a lot.
Big Niner fans.
Big Niner fans.
But I was also, you know, I always tell people too, they go, well, Steve, you know, how do you know which players are Latino? I go, when you're Latino, you just know.
Yes. Regardless of what the last name says,
about
you
all
know.
The time.
You know.
Yes. You know.
We talk about Tony the time Romo, on this podcast. Yeah.
Tony Romo, we all knew he was Latino.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet his grandma, and his grandmother goes, they go, hey, how do you keep Tony going? You know, and she goes, con chorizo power.
Yeah.
I make him chorizo and egg every morning. You know, and you go, yeah.
There it is.
You know, say, abuelita, ¿qué crees? Jim, ¿qué crees? Abuelita, I don't know. No sé.
I always feel like that's how he would do it if he was Tony Romo talking in Spanish. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To his nana. Yeah, but, for sure.
But, you know, we're super proud to be Americans, and we're super proud to get behind our NFL teams, and we love our players. And ultimately, you know, the American Latino, we are so assimilated that it's so hard to find us. Because I listen to Mexican regional music. I listen to mariachi. I listen to rap. I listen to country music. I listen to classic rock. I listen to everything because I was raised with everything.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. We're not a monolith, and you can love soccer, and you can love American football, and you can listen to this. And puedes decir de aquí y de allá. Like, both things can exist at the same time. We talk about that all the time. And it doesn't make you Latino or any less American, right? Like,
the World Cup. Mm-hmm. The World Cup, I'm going to root for USA, and when they lose, I still got a dog in the fight.
That part.
Yeah, I got to root for Nicaragua, right? If they're in it, I'm going to root for them.
Do they have a team? USA. I don't even know if Nicaragua has a team. Do they have a team?
Dominican Republic's not catching up on that.
Pickleball team, maybe? I don't know.
We got World Baseball Classic.
We did that. Quick, Steve, we didn't.
You know,
so well.
We commented on the coins behind you, and I think anybody who has a military family member is from a military family knows exactly what that is. You mentioned your dad served, and I love that you carry on that legacy through Helicopters for Heroes. Tell us a little bit more about that.
We, you know, I have a passion for our veterans, and my father being a Vietnam vet, growing up with him, I saw the effects of what happens to a man who is a combat veteran, much like your husband. Mm-hmm. And you fall in love with these guys, and you realize that what they went through is unexplainable and very difficult to deal with. So we got involved with Helicopters for Heroes about 7 years ago, and that is my charity. And this year we raised over $1 million for our veterans, and we are 100% volunteer. And we were able to give back 96% of that money to the veterans. And again, going back to staying on topic, you know, a Latino has served in an American war since the Revolutionary War. We have defended this country since day one, and we are very proud to defend this country. And it is important to me to celebrate all people who serve this country, but people like my dad who, you know, gosh, I'm getting a little torn up here because 4th of July, my dad puts his flag on his tree and he always takes a picture every year, you know, saluting his neighborhood because he loves this country, you know, proud of our culture, but we love this country. And that's why I got involved with the veterans, because so many people have sacrificed to give us a much better life than had my family chosen to stay in Mexico. I think I would be living a much different life. And
of course,
They came here for that opportunity. They came here to have a home to watch the Dallas Cowboys play after church on a Sunday. That's what it was about.
Yeah, no question. That's the I think the driving force behind all of us, right? That we know the sacrifices they made was for this dream, and we were able to turn their American dream into our American dream, and then pass that right. on to the next generations. And it looks.
I mean, look how soft our hands are. I mean, you know, we're on a podcast right now talking. Yeah. You know, and that is the American dream, but. You know, and again, for the three of us, what we're doing right now is one in a million, yeah. one in 2 million, mm-hmm. one in 5 million. I tell people all the time, please, on two hands, show me successful Latino comedians. You know, the list is very, very short. Mm-hmm. Very, very mm-hmm. short, right? I was watching Adam Sandler receive the Mark Twain Award for American Humor. And I immediately said, ooh, who has won this before? Not one Latino has ever won a Mark Twain Award. Yeah. You know, no Mexican Americans yeah. have ever won an Oscar. Now, so for us to be in this business, you know, it is truly an American dream because there's not many of us, you know.
Especially when you don't have the blueprint to follow, right? Like, oh, I've seen so-and-so do it. Like, you have to believe so wholeheartedly in your success and in your talent when there is no other reference point, no other source material, if you will.
And I tell people all the time, you know, I live in a beautiful neighborhood. I do very well for myself. And I used to think that these rich kids' advantage was money. Mm. That is not the advantage. The advantage that my son has now as a rich kid is not the money. It is accessibility. Ooh, and it is the feeling and the mm-hmm. feeling of, oh, this should be my life. This is how my life's supposed to be.
Right.
And I'm going to make this my life. And, you know, possibilities mindset. Are endless for him. Yeah, mindset. We were at Legoland and he rides this roller coaster and he gets off and he goes, Dad, we got to put this roller coaster in our backyard. Let's buy one.
And you're like, I mean, what?
Of course.
But I admired the heck out of him and it made me proud. That he believes all things are possible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's it's been fun to see your comedy evolve over the years. Love to see the representation. We think you are funny as hell. And we're so happy that you were able to come on the podcast. Also, you got a bunch of specials that you've done.
Yeah.
You got one on Amazon Prime. I mean, you're really just a funny, relatable comedian, and so glad that you're Latino too, and that you're on this podcast with us. So, Steve Trevino, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, my friend.
Pleasure. Well, you guys have my info now. You have my number. Do not hesitate to reach out. I would love to hang out.
Yeah.
I will be in San Diego doing the Harrah's Casino soon. We're booking that.
Let's go.
So, you know, anytime you guys want to come, and very quickly, I wanted to get this out. I thought when I was doing this podcast, I thought about this and I take it very serious. If you're watching this and you ever said to yourself, Tom Brady should quit, shame on you. Shame on you, because I could not imagine somebody telling me to quit comedy. Yeah. I could not imagine somebody telling me that what I absolutely love to do and put my whole heart and soul into, that one day you come to me and go, you have to quit and you are not allowed to play. So good for Tom for continuing to play as long as he could. And shame on you for saying that he should retire.
That's right, Steve.
There you go, Steve.
Boom.
I see.
Thank you, Steve. That's it. An otro primo. Now an official primo of the El Jaro Pablo. Yes.
Familia.
Familia, yeah. Thank you, Steve. For real, you're awesome. Tell Renee we say hello.
Thanks, Steve.
Placer.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game winner I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, I feel like we could have talked to Steve
forever,
right? Yeah. So funny, just interesting perspective on everything, including his beloved Cowboys, which now brings us to the final part of the podcast where we put a little bow on things. Mm-hmm. We like to call E Punto. And for me, my E Punto is I'm living my best life watching my shows.
Yes.
Succession. I am watching Ted Lasso and
yes.
I'm watching The Mandalorian and I'm enjoying all of it. And I am sad to see that two of those three series are going to come to an end.
I know.
But with all of those series, which I've loved them, the drama and what we've talked about, representation that is in a couple of them at least, I've loved it.
Yeah.
So that's my Ipunto. Just let me be, let me binge. And we're going to get into some of these discussions at point in time.
I'm going to add one more to your life. If you haven't started watching Shrinking on Apple Plus.
Yes, I've heard good things about that. Yes.
Phenomenal. I binged it in one day. Done.
Wow.
Actually, no, I'm missing the last episode of the finale, so I still have a little nugget there. But yes, I agree. Off-season life, quote-unquote off-season, which doesn't really exist. It's a myth.
Whatever
for us.
That is.
But yes, binging a lot of shows, traveling for sure. I think that balance, right? When you start finding that balance for ourselves, for our own lives, to keep everything, all the wheels moving in the right direction. Because sometimes if all you do is work, as much as we love our jobs, we need that little balance. Well, so I'm so glad that you said that. My Ipunto is actually an exclamation point co-signing on yours. So I love that.
Oh.
That is my plan for the weekend. It's to binge as much as possible. If you need me, I'm on my couch. That's where you can find me. All right? There's snacks in close proximity. That's all we're going to do. It's fine. It's March. We got a month to the draft. when things pick back up for us in full speed ahead. So we're good. We're still working. We're still moving, but we're also enjoying the after the regular season life. So we'll still be rocking with you guys here on All Huddle, of course, if you like what you hear, and we know that you do. Go ahead and like, subscribe, share, rate, review, all of those fun things wherever you get your podcasts. We will be right back here next week. Will, love ya. Mean it.
You love ya.
See you next
mean
time.
It. Adios.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.